Today on Real Radio.
What's in our wallet will reveal what kind of God and who God is in our lives by this. Are you doing all? Am I doing all you can in service to your God?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're in chapter 16 and looking at the first 14 verses, which contains the explanation by Messiah himself that man cannot serve money and God at the same time. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called What's in Your Wallet?
We live in such an opulent culture. We would never say it, but we sometimes think God's not providing the way that we think he ought to provide. And we've become, can I say it, spiritually fat. We are so blessed as a nation that if our temperature's not set at 73.5 degrees, we get uncomfortable. God has been so good to us. Will you agree with me on that? He's been so good, but Jack, all these things are shaking in our nation. I understand that, but doesn't it cause you to say, wow, God, you have been good to me, and you have been good to us, and I know this. Naked I came, naked I go. Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. What has God promised us but heaven? He owes us nothing else. He's been so good to us. And because of that, we looked last time that we will someday be repaid by how we invest in the kingdom of God, that we were required to be creative. God expects us to be creative. And so when that master, verses 5 through 7, or I should say the servant, the steward over the master's goods, got the master's debtors together. He wasn't stealing, you guys. I made mention of this. Some of you didn't grasp this last week. You guys, remember when it says, how much do you owe my master? And the one guy says, 100. And he said, right, 50? He said, the steward is not robbing anybody. I told you before, the culture was, the steward was to ask the master, how much do you want from this wheat field that this guy's sowing and plowing? I want 50. I want 50 bucks. It was up to the steward's jurisdiction. The steward had the right to go to that farmer and say, you're going to pay my master 100 bucks. I said, Jack, wait a minute. There's something wrong here. No, we call it commission today, literally. The steward would take the money, take an amount from that, and give it to his master, that which his master asked for, and what he had was his. That's how he was paid. So what he did was, knowing that he was running out of time, that the end was near, that things were coming and becoming urgent, he set himself up for the days that he would have nothing or no longer have opportunity. Christian, think, the day is coming when you and I will either see the Lord face to face, may it be today, amen, or we will no longer have opportunity, that the well will dry up. There'll be no more income, or there'll be no more opportunity. There'll be no more water flowing from the tap, so to speak, or literally. We are to have our treasures laid up in heaven. And that's what the Lord is teaching us in this example that he's giving us. We are to be creative about investing in the future. And so we look ahead. We plan ahead like this man did. Jesus is saying, listen, whatever you do, Christian, always have eternity in your sights. How does this bless the kingdom? How will this expand the kingdom? And in the end, I will stand before God in the kingdom and give an answer for my life. It's very powerful, the sense of urgency. Okay, now we jump in, which is now verses 8 to 14. It's the last point of the message, but it's going to take us the rest of the day. Look at verse 8. It says here, what we learn from this, when the question is asked, what's in your wallet? It will someday reveal who your God really is. What's in your wallet? This way, are you looking ahead as you follow your God? You see, Jack, why do you phrase it that way? Am I looking ahead as I follow my God? Isn't the God that we worship all the same God? In a collective sense, yes. But in my own life, I'm sure in your life, sometimes there's a challenge to that. Verse 8 says, so the master commended. The word in Greek means he understood his plan. The master said, wow, what a smart dude I'm firing. What a smart guy I'm letting go. He's doing really a smart thing for himself. That unjust servant, because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. The word shrewd here means to be, you've heard this word, astute at business, cunning. We get the word ingenious from this. It means to go about, here in the Greek language, to go about with a keen eye. A friend of mine, Gary Simon, in Arlington, Texas, true story. Just got an email from him Friday night. They built their church. They were digging. They were stopped by the government. And they said, our satellites are picking up things that we need to do some ground research regarding the property that you bought. Now listen to this. Brilliant. They bought it from the land from the U.S. government. In the transaction, the government was a little slack, a little lazy in Texas. It's in Texas. And Gary had better attorneys. You don't buy nothing in this world without attorneys. And they wound up, the government wound up inadvertently signing over the mineral rights of the property. When Gary's people began to dig, the government noticed that as they were digging, they're heading in a certain direction, that there were indicators that there could be oil within the region of where their church was going to be built. Guess what happened? They struck oil. Literally, the church hit oil. And you say, well, what should they do about it? Listen, they're selling it to, I think, Shell or Exxon. They're taking the money, and you name it, they're doing it. Feeding the inner city, setting up churches around the world, feeding the homeless. Unbelievable stuff. Go online, check it out. God blesses obedience. And I'm not saying that if you obey God, you're going to get rich. I am not that kind of a pastor. You know that. But God will bless obedience, period. Could be peace in your home, could be love, could be health, could be whatever He chooses. Let God be God. You and I are to follow Him. And that even means with our wallet. Are we looking ahead? Simply put, Jesus is saying, Christians, we're to be on the offensive, advancing the things of the kingdom of God with great expedition, great industry. We're to be looking ahead. James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Are you blessed? God's given it to you. Make no mistake about it. Don't get all puffy and proud about it, Nebuchadnezzar. You can get knocked down, and God can remind you who it belongs to. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, in the latter end of the verse, what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did not receive it, or indeed did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? God gave it to us. 2 Corinthians 9:6, I love this verse. You've heard it before. 2 Corinthians 9:6, Paul said to the church at Corinth, by this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes, determines, concludes in his own heart. Not grudgingly, that is not grumbling about it, or of necessity, I gotta give. For God loves a cheerful giver. The word in Greek is hilarious. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance of every good work. In other words, give God back that which belongs to Him, and He'll take care of your life. And herein is faith that America now, in the direction she's going, will have to answer, will have to say, America can no longer trust in her chariots. America can no longer trust in Wall Street. America can no longer trust in the dollar. Those things are evaporating. I was railed 2 years ago in a radio interview in Washington, D.C., when I said, listen, I believe as we shake our fist at God as a nation and defy Him, that it's becoming more and more evident that A, our freedom is a perception. We're losing it. Number two, our military strength is the strongest in the world, but we don't have the will to fight. And number three, I said, our monetary prowess is propped up. Freedom, power, prosperity, those are now perceptions. And you say, Jack, what are you saying? Oh, I'm saying, listen, oh, church, listen. Are you listening? This is serious. Have we not been praying for a long time that God would cause America to come back, that we would see less violence in our schools, that we would see less killing of the unborn, that marriages would be healed? Think about it. Across the land, that our nation's leaders would become God-fearing leaders again and not steal and rob from people anymore. That if George Washington was to return or Jesus Christ, there would be faith found in America. Huh? Listen, we pray for revival. Oh, God, awaken the church. God, awaken your people. Why? Because when God's people start loving on those who are not God's people, those who are not God's people want to become God's people. And that's done by us having the idols removed. And it dawned on me in putting this message together. This may sound radical. I pray that it's prophetic. Could it be that our fasting and prayers and our intercession for this nation that God is answering in these last few weeks? How did you say, Jack, how can you say that? How can you say that? The world is watching on. They want to know what's going to happen to America. I'm waiting. Oh, Lord, I'm waiting for someone to come out of Washington, maybe. Or maybe they could pick up Billy Graham one more time before he passes and get a microphone to his faint, fleeting voice in his old age. And someone of authority would say, America, turn to God and pray. Perhaps He will have mercy on us. We need, maybe God is taking things down because He knows that the God of mammon rules in any and many of the Christian lives. We will follow God as long as God is giving to us. How do we know if we love Him? How do we know until it's all taken away? Maybe God is answering our prayers and we didn't expect it. Did we expect Him to rend heaven, pour down more blessings, and call that a revival? I believe if there's going to be a revival in America, it's going to be a revival of holiness. The church will be pure and a bride will become ready. Have you ever seen a bride getting ready for a wedding? If you're not a man, if you're a girl, you get it. If you're a guy, it's insanity. I'm going to get my nails done. You just had them done. I'm going to go get them done again. We have to do our hair, and they're all gathered around. You ever see that movie, The Big Fat Big Greek, Big Fat, what's it called? My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And they're all preening and putting the, in the day of the wedding. Remember that? She wakes up. What is that on your face? What is that on your face? What is it? What? It is a zit. You have a zit. Listen, the bride of Christ, when the Lord comes back, she's not even going to have a zit on her face. She's going to be clean and pure and bright, says the Bible. Her linen, fine, clean, and bright, are the righteous acts of the saints. I believe the Lord is preparing for Himself the bride of Christ. But America needs to return to God. And what's in our wallet often dictates our level of joy. And that makes money an idol. It makes money a god. What's in your wallet? Jesus said this, Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I read this week in a newspaper article that security companies Their income is skyrocketing because of the level of violence that's going on in America. I guess if you want to invest in something in the carnal realm, invest in security companies. They're putting up things because people want to kill people and people want to rob people. And Jesus says, hey, put your treasure up in heaven. They ain't going to get up there. But I'm laughing because you know what? I'll tell you something. I had a really cool jacket. It was an awesome jacket. It was made by Champion Sportswear. It was given to me by a man who was the senior sales rep for the nation on Champions. You know Champion Sportswear? It's just great stuff. It was an awesome jacket. And you guys, I'm so stupid. It's such an awesome jacket that I didn't want to wear it because it's such an awesome jacket that I didn't want for anything to happen to it. I kid you not. It hung in my closet for years. I would put it on from time to time, and I would look at it, and I would thus say, this is an awesome jacket. I would look at it. This is an awesome jacket. God said, you know what? You're weird. This is like an idol. You're nuts. This is all going to be, and I'd come to my daily Bible reading, and I'd come to that verse. This verse right here, where moth and rust come in to destroy. I say, okay, that's it. God, I give you, I cast this jacket at your feet. That's yours. I will wear it. I'll wear it out. I went in the closet. I opened it up, and it was moth-eaten. I never got to enjoy it. You never got the chance to see me in it. Why? Because little invisible moths that I have not seen still to this day are flying around saying, my, do you remember that jacket a couple of years ago? Yet that very thing's happening with people's retirements and people's bank accounts and all this stuff that's going on, and people are shocked. And Jesus said it from the beginning. Wouldn't you love to go on like Fox News Business or Bloomberg Report and say, Jesus said, he prophesied, lay for yourselves up treasures in heaven where Wall Street cannot break in, or corporate raiders, or self-grandizing politicians can skim money off of your account. Well, we will someday see that what's in our wallet will reveal what kind of God and who God is in our lives by this. Are you doing all, am I doing all you can in service to your God? Verse 9 says, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves of unrighteous mammon. Jesus is not saying love money. He's saying get smart. Do you remember last week I mentioned the word tools? Christians should never open up their wallets. That's a pretty pathetic looking wallet, isn't it? Christians should never open up their wallets and say, my, look how much money I have. A Christian should open up their wallet or look in their check account or bank account or go online and say, Lord, thank you for these ten tools I have. They're not dollars, they're tools to the glory of God. Because as I said last time, as a church and as your home in your life, if you start looking at money as dollars and dollars as money, the danger becomes the God Mammonos, Mammon. You know why? You will lean on it. Mammon means personal self-confidence or personal. It was the God of personal wealth. That's why Jesus used the word mammon. Are you leaning on personal self-worth? Literally, some in this room today could say, I was leaning on it more last week than I am this week. Because as the Bible says, it sprouted wings and flew away. My friend, can I encourage you? All along the way, we get deceived by what's in the account. It's tools. It's tools. God gives us to them as tools. What will we do with them? What we do with them dictates and announces who's our God. So Jesus says that in the end, look at verse 9 in the middle there, it says that when you fail, not if, when it all is done, when it's all over, when your life's opportunities have come to an end. Oh, please hear me. Today you may be Mr. or Mrs. Business Person, and you're saying, man, I'm okay. Or you may be a person today saying, Jack, I leave this service today, and I go home to my house for the last time, and we're losing everything. You need to understand something. God is not cold and callous towards he who has, and he's not wringing his fingers in sheer panic for him or to you who has not. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And his answer to you and I today, no matter where we're at, is lean on me. You trust in me. And America is waking up. And who will she trust in? Your neighbors will be turning to you and saying, there's a Christian that lives over there at that house. They're supposed to trust God. Let's see how they handle these days. And God will use us. It's as though this man here, he went to the bank. It's as though this guy goes to the bank and he says, you know what, it's all going to collapse. So how do I convert? Listen, this is cool. How do I convert money into opportunities for God's glory? Because one's vanishing. My master's firing me. So how do I take the opportunities that I have, fleeting moments to manage, and convert into everlasting habitations? Isn't that cool? You don't need a business degree to figure this out. The Holy Spirit will tell you this. It's remarkable. What are we using? In 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. Church, did you hear that? Are you driving out of church today with a bicycle because that's all you got? Then pump that baby to the glory of God. You ride your bike back home saying, hallelujah, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Are you driving home today in a Ferrari? Thank you, God, for the Ferrari. Whatever you do, whatever you have, whatever you drink, whatever you eat, do it to the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. What's the alternative? Is this not the great kingdom that I have built? Oh, watch out. It all belongs to him, Jesus is teaching us. Jesus is communicating to us that when everything is gone and when it's no more, we can still be well off with God because we've laid it up in heaven. And think of this. The greatest investment that you and I can do is getting the word of God out to other people.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called What's in Your Wallet? It's a look at the first 14 verses of Luke chapter 16 that deals with the issue of money and how believers need to view it as well as handle it. We'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. In the meantime, we'd like to remind you that, speaking of which, Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is supported by its listeners. All donations are tax deductible as we are a nonprofit. We simply want to get the word out. To get in touch with us here at Real Radio, there's more than one way to do so. You can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. It's also easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, California.